Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 211. Here, as always, with the feverish Finero and the spaceman himself. I said Finero. How the hell are you guys?
Great, man. How you doing, Swags?
I'm good. I'm great. Dave, you're good. Happy anniversary to you and the
missus. Thank you, sir. Three years of marriage.
It was
bliss.
Your and hers anniversary you're talking about. We didn't specify what the anniversary was. You said it was your anniversary. We got to get going, but you didn't. I was assuming it was you and the wife.
I have to check my calendar again to make sure. Yeah. It's true.
Safe assumption. For the occasion, Dave showed up with pants for the first freaking time.
Thank God.
It's awkward. It's almost more awkward to see him with pants now.
It's even awkward, too, because Rondale Moore, another top 12 rookie week. I'm surprised the pants are on, but, you know, got to be formal here.
Oh, we're breaking in. They've rookie number seven this week. So we're talking about the top 12, and we got some rookie rewind. I'm going to try to my best to talk this evening or whenever you're listening to this. But Dave wants to talk about Rondale Moore. Rookie number seven this week, wide receiver 24, 15.45 points, 3 carries, 38 yards, 5 receptions, 6 targets, 59 yards. The Rondale Moore. Now, Dave, I'm guessing that you were going to stop us here anyway.
I honestly came prepared with notes on every player. I was ready to go. I am amped up for tonight's show. I guess.
Per usual.
Per usual, but yeah, I would say I would have stopped you here and I would have said 47.5% of the snaps for Rondale Moore is a season high. Not a ton more from a season high, but it's still an increase. And this was the first week that he ran more routes than Christian Kirk. So some positive trends, despite the efficiency and the production we've seen to date. I think he's the rookie wide receiver 3 on the season, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but definitely continues to trend in the right direction for Rondale Moore.
Yeah. And I mean, even the carries, the 3 carries for 38 yards, we look below that. I'm skipping around. We'll get into the show. But Michael Carter has 10 carries and gets the same 38 yards. So on the 3 carries, Rondale Moore out of the backfield, 38 yards. I like to see that a lot. Dave nailed this one coming into the season. Knew you'd want to stop here. Like, how excited are you now? I think we're all excited for Rondale Moore. Man, Dave, I don't want to be mean, but I feel like you were pretty wrong about A.J. Green.
Yeah, I can't get A.J. Green right. You know, besides being right on him for his entire career until he started to do the tailspin.
Then he has a couple good games and we're all in. And then said something about him being the father of your child. And he's like, man, I'm out.
I would have thought that would have gotten a boost in our views too. AJ Green, I thought he would have done us a couple of solid here and at least retweeted us this week, but nothing.
He did not call dibs.
Just like his week, nothing.
Nothing.
Ten more routes run for AJ Green than Rondale Moore. I could see if he keeps putting up goose eggs like that, that'll be shrinking by the end of the season, my friends.
Yeah, I think so. I don't hate it at all. So let's get into the top 12, minus the Rondale Moore. Holy smokes. It's rookie fever trivia.
I didn't even see that coming.
Hey, I was hoping you didn't. I said last week, 3 a show, and you were like, give me more. And I was like, hells to the no. You got to pay for more, Finero.
Okay,
right,
how much?
Right? What did you say? Like, I forget what you said. All right, eyes on me, Dave.
This is not fun.
That spreadsheet is at his beck and
which
call.
Which rookie did not make the top 12 for the first time this last week here in week 5? Which rookie did not make the top 12 for the first time this year?
Gainwell?
You got it. You got it. You nailed it. I have a winner.
Did I get a sound?
We have a winner!
Good job, Finero. Good job. I don't know what you win, but you are the winner of that.
I got to win something.
Number 12, Elijah Mitchell. Running back 40, 10.45 points, 9 carries, 43 yards, 2 receptions, 2 targets, 19 yards.
Yes, our Finero,
you
Sermon.
Snuck this one in last week and got some points.
No, this was actually Dave snuck this one
in. Keep mixing that all up.
He was very surprised we let him fall to him, and he was right.
But then he found out after the show he wasn't eligible.
Oh, is that true?
That is.
I don't make the rules. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, well.
They're made to be broke, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anybody that can break the rules, it's the guy that's ahead by 80 points.
Well, I know what it's like to get negative 17 again, so I feel for you guys. This
yeah,
is,
how
this
does,
is
that, how does that feel? How does that feel?
Pretty clear message sent for that Elijah Moore is ahead of Trey Sermon here.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that we have to remember, as this offense transitions to Trey Lance, that the value of the San Francisco backfield might not be there because Trey Lance is going to be taking a lot of high-value carries. So I just think that's something that everyone wants to rush to get to San Francisco, but hey, is Trey Lance going to be taking a lot of those, like the way Cam Newton used to? So I just think that's just something that I don't hear much talked about as just to kind of remind people moving forward when we're trying to target someone in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. Number 11, Khalil Herbert. I don't like saying his name. Khalil, it just doesn't roll.
Is it Khalil?
Khalil. Even if you say it, I can't say it. Running back 37, 12 points, 18 carries, 75 yards. Did give me some points that I needed. He looked like maybe he could have this job instead of Damian Williams through the time that David Montgomery's out. At least a 50-50 split, I don't think is crazy.
I was surprised by that. I definitely was surprised by the 18 carries. But the thing I was biggest surprise is to have 18 carries, you have to trust him in pass pro. You have to, and this is a rookie. So, you know, you could see him carving out even a bigger role.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Damian Williams is he reminds me so much of Damian Williams. So I wasn't that surprised.
I've been with you so long, I kind of knew you were going to say that.
Number 10, Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver, 34, 13.75 points, 7 receptions, 8 targets, 65 yards. He's getting these targets. Now Cephas is gone.
Yeah,
this is good to see. How do you guys feel about this situation moving forward? And I mean like 2022.
This is the guy I wanted to talk about. One of the ones I had highlighted. I would say this goes out to anyone playing redraft because that's where you'll find him on a waiver wire. I know we don't talk to our redrafters enough, but this is the week before the week that you need to pick him up for free. I do believe that this is going to be one of those potential rookie breakouts. He's explosive. He's certainly no alpha. No one's going to confuse him for that, but there's no guy like that on the roster anyway. He's going to get the targets. He's averaged 8 targets in the last 2 games. I could see his average targets go into double digits. That's a guy that you want to put on your bench for sure. Rest of season, I like him a lot, but I will be honest with you. I think because of the conservation of targets, how much he's going to get in this volume, which, by the way, Detroit is passing the ball more than we thought. Mm-hmm. This could be his best year, like ever.
And that's what I wonder, too. Like
that's kind of how I feel about
that's
it.
That's into him.
Yeah.
I also wonder if you should take advantage of this to get out at some point because you weren't really necessarily planning on starting him. And if he's going to get this kind of volume, you can't think he's the last. I mean, they might even have somebody by trade deadline. You never know, honestly.
Yeah, I do really believe that he has a boom coming. And like I said, anybody in Dynasty already has him on a roster. But in redraft, look at that name for sure.
Yeah, and but I love that you mentioned that in redraft too, because you're right. Like, and he's somebody that's completely free.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes me think of the Free For All Friday that I used to do on Fantasy Football Breakdown, and it makes me want to do that show again. And
yeah, 'cause
he would be perfect that show. For that.
Yep, he would.
So I love that.
I would say too, just to try to, you know, go to bat for Amon-Ra a little bit too here. That's 70% snap share the last 2 weeks in a row now.
Yep.
That's 8 targets 2 weeks in a row now. Yep. So before the Cephas injury, so the breakout was starting to happen a little bit before the injury. So let's not like play a vacated targets game here. Heaven forbid, got to put the foot down here. The breakout was happening beforehand, and we're cooking with fire with a 21% target share in week 4 and a 25% target share in week 5. Those are big boy numbers. You're going to start eating at the adult table here and graduate to the adult table and get out of the kids table here if this kind of stuff happens. We get excited about when we hit these numbers for a rookie, especially only 5 weeks in.
Early day 3 draft capital, early college production. This is a guy that has the potential to have a year like this. He might have that Cinderella year in his rookie season. And this is even in Dynasty, you know, like we made a note about redraft in Dynasty. This is an opportunity to ride this wave and sell late into the season.
Kids table was so cool. Like you you thought the adult table was going to be so much better, but it's kind of a myth, you know, that's maybe not talked about quite enough. Number 9, Javonte Williams, running back 29, 13.6 points, 8 carries, 61 yards, 3 receptions, 3 targets, 25 yards. Javonte Williams. I still think better days are ahead. I think if there is a buy opportunity, you should pursue those. Number 8.
First week that Javonte Williams has been more efficient than Melvin Gordon. It's been, it's been back and forth with who has more 50-50 splits as far as opportunity is concerned. And Melvin Gordon's outproduced Javonte across the board here. First week, Javonte crushes Gordon in the efficiency. I just want to highlight that because if that trend continues, maybe he can start to pull away here. But this is the first time it's happened. So I think we should just star that and see what happens going forward.
Yeah, and he's getting used in good areas too. Like he's getting some goal line work, and we're seeing that they trust Javonte Williams. And honestly, this is kind of what we traditionally see from some rookie running backs, especially with somebody like Melvin Gordon in front of them. We don't really start to see what we think they could be until this like week 7 through 10 area. And then even then, we've talked about a lot on here how the opportunities and production usually goes up in year 2. So, but were we done with Javonte Williams?
I just want to add that little nugget. That was it. Yeah.
Number 8, Devontae Smith, wide receiver 29, 14.7 points, 7 receptions, 8 targets, 77 yards.
All right, so I already came out. Yeah, I know, right? I already came out. I got a 2-point conversion. That's one touchdown.
I'm just saying, like, a touchdown, and I know we can't add to stats, but a touchdown changes all this. I mean, he's probably wide receiver 18.
On pace for 1,000 yards and 85 catches on the season.
Wow.
A 16-game pace or a 17-game pace?
Like, that's 1,000, I'll give it to you right now, 1,004 yards is a 16-game season. 1,067.6 is a 17-game season. You weren't expecting me to come out with numbers like that, were you?
Dave, you said you were using the database. 17. Well, now I have to use week 17 because I don't do week 18 now. And right. I got to move the goalposts.
Right, exactly. That's why I had both numbers ready. And the Bucs next week, wheels up.
Number 7 was Rondale Moore. He was wide receiver 24. Then number 6, Michael Carter, running back 23, 18.3 points, 10 carries, 38 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 receptions, 3 targets, 20 yards. I believe it was last week Finero made the point that you should move on. I think that you should, even if now you're approaching those Clyde Edwards-Helaire teams or somebody like that, somebody that's experienced some injuries. People might see this RB2 week and get a little bit excited. I'm really not. It's good to see from a seasonal standpoint, but I think you should move on from Michael Carter. Number 5, Chuba Hubbard, running back 13, 25.4 points, 24 carries, 101 yards, 5 receptions, 6 targets, 33 yards. Number 4, Kadarius Toney, wide receiver 8, 27.85 points, 1 carry, 7 yards, 10 receptions, 13 targets, 189 yards. Kadarius Toney.
Please, somebody talk about Kadarius.
I talked about him yesterday on the Tales to Rival, so I'll just jump in and say what we're seeing here. It's again, this is a vacated target situation where people are going to say, well, oh, Saquon went down, Slayton went down, Galladay went down, Shepard went down. So this is just the neck. So that's what he needed to break out, except situations where there's just like supposedly these vacated targets appear for ripe for the picking. Those players who don't earn those targets, they're very inefficient with their targets. They're very, very low catch rates. And that's not even really how targets work. But what Kadarius Toney's doing, he's getting yards after the catch. He's being dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's getting air yards. He's doing it all, quite frankly. He's getting the target volume. What Kadarius Toney is doing is he's putting all us nerds on, you know, on, I don't even know what some cool hip term would be for looking like an idiot, but that's what he's making all us nerds do, look like. And, yeah, Kadarius Toney's saying, suck it. Gettleman got this one right somehow. I don't know how, but yeah.
Well, we know why NFL teams were looking at him in the first round. It wasn't just the Giants. So, you know, it's one of those things where I totally agree with you, Dave. I posted a short video just before this show, just I think it was 2.5 minutes of just what Kadarius Toney did. They used him in the Wildcat. I think he even threw a pass in this game. Obviously, yak, high pointing the ball. I mean, you name it. Anything that you want a wide receiver to do, he was doing in that game. It was crazy.
Guys, my offhand comments about Kadarius Toney being the quarterback for the Giants, it's kind of coming true. Like, I was like, I did it for a couple laughs here, but I don't know what's happening here. This Wildcat Kadarius Toney.
Number 3, Najee Harris, running back 9, 28.95 points, 23 carries, 122 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 receptions, 5 targets, 20 yards. Najee Harris looks like he could carry the team.
Just keeps doing it.
Number 2, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 5, 30.9 points, 6 receptions, 12 targets, 159 yards. This is his second time being a wide receiver 6 or better. Is that correct? In 5 weeks? That's pretty damn good for a rookie. Ridiculous.
Yes.
Does that sound right, Dave?
It sounds about right.
I know it's at least second. There, if there's one more, I apologize if I'm missing it. But I know he's had at least 2. I know he had a wide receiver 6 week on here.
He has 2 top 12 weeks. So
I have him as wide receiver 9 on the season.
That's damn good. Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase?
I'll take Justin Jefferson still.
Wow. I will too. I'm surprised because you're the voice of Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, everybody likes Ja'Marr Chase, but I would still say you were the loudest in the offseason, Dave. Where are you with that, Panera?
I have a slight lean with Chase, believe it or not, and it has nothing to do with what you think it would be. My tiebreaker here or difference maker is just being tied to Joe Burrow and my concerns on Justin Jefferson's next quarterback. I just don't think it's Kirk Cousins. So I just don't know who the quarterback's going to be over there, and I think that has to have an effect.
Yeah, we'll see, man. It could be interesting, though, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney can go out there and get 189 yards with freaking Mike Lennon, I guess. Justin Jefferson
I
will be
thought
fine.
You were going to say Kadarius Toney was going to be the quarterback.
I was like, damn, that's hot. I was like, clip that shit. Like, that's what I was like. Panera after my own heart here. They're gonna sweep me off my feet.
That's gonna be like a rookie fever thing now whenever we're looking for a quarterback. Darius Toney's available.
Number 1, Kyle Pitts. This is a tight end premium. That doesn't affect the fact that he was tight end 3, 31.4 points, 9 receptions, 10 targets, 119 yards, and a touchdown. Kyle Pitts. I don't think anybody here is that surprised by this. Nah. We all seem like so just like, meh. But what an awesome game for Kyle Pitts with everybody out.
Yeah, it was nice to see. It was also, this was the 9:30 in the morning game, right?
Yep.
Oh, I guess East game. Coasters. Us East Coasters. So I was able to watch all of it. And there was, I guess there was a comment or a tweet that I had made. As soon as I found out Calvin Ridley wasn't going to play, which I thought was a pretty big surprise, back when it was announced, I kind of said, you know, Kyle Pitts was going to have, I believe it was 15 targets, 10 receptions, 140 yards and two touchdowns was my
man,
prediction.
Not too far off, man.
It wasn't crazy off, and that's the funny part, because I got a little bit of slack for it, and during the game I was getting continual slack for it, and he just continued to rack up those targets and rack up those yards.
And now he's on a bye week. I think he's going to come out of that bye week strong.
Don't be tricked into thinking this is because Calvin Ridley's out. Because the week game before, he had a 22% target share as well. He had 9 targets. He only had one more target this week without Calvin Ridley there. He had the same target share, the same type of route participation. He ran the same amount of routes. His usage actually paid off. So we were seeing all the peripheral numbers we would like to see, except he caught the touchdown that we all wanted him. We were talked about for the last 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So let's not don't say oh, this is just because Calvin Ridley's out, because people are going to say that, and don't let them trick you, because this is Kyle Pitts is good. That bye window, the ease of bye, Finero, you mentioned it in our group chat. So shut that door right now. That ease of that closed pipe. Oh, yeah. Slam shut.
Absolutely. I started Kyle Pitts in the one league I have him, but you have to, right?
Oh yeah, Scott Fishbowl, baby, got me that fifth loss.
It's great.
Oh. Oh my goodness, rookie fever trivia. Who is the only rookie who is in the top 10 who does not have a touchdown?
One more time.
The only rookie in the top 10 overall for the season, mind you, sorry, who does not have a touchdown?
Waddle?
No, he has one.
No, touchdown. He has one. He had a touchdown week one.
It is not Jalen Waddle.
Who doesn't have a touchdown?
I feel like this is going to bother me when I find out what it is. Javonte Williams has one?
Yeah, he has one.
It is not Javonte Williams.
I'm going to get another sounder.
We have a winner!
I couldn't even guess. I chickened out.
It's Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, there, wow. Okay.
I would never have gotten that.
Yeah, me neither.
Chuba Hubbard. All right, let's get into a little bit of Rookie Rewind.
That was very DJ-like, the way you spun that in there.
Yeah, I wish I could scratch it. I wish I could.
Yeah, that would be badass.
Play it again and with a little scratch.
Who are we talking about on Rookie Rewind? So many good players.
Man, there's a few. It's because we so we have this all planned up. We don't know what anybody's going to say, but we knew who we were going to talk about before the show. We all picked a player. As we're even going through the top 12 here in the conversation we've had during the show, I'm like, man, I want to talk about this guy. Man, I wish we were talking about this guy. So I have a couple, but try to stick to the plan, I guess. I'll just say mine. I wanted to talk a little bit about AJ Dillon. I feel like it's time, and he's kind of came. I don't even want to say out of nowhere. I almost feel like this is where rookie fever was with this last year, kind of coming out of the season. We started to see the carries increase a little bit. AJ Dillon had had his COVID issues, and we'd kind of mentioned that with the time that he missed and the time he was getting going at the end of last season, it kind of made sense to have a couple of those big games, and that we should probably see him at that 8 to 10 game span that we spoke of, when we were talking about Javonte Williams earlier in the show. We should probably see that about now. And then that's kind of what we're starting to see here. And you even get week 4, he has 15 carries, 81 yards, ends at running back 30. Then the next week, within that time at running back 30, Aaron Jones also had 15 carries and he only had 48 yards. He did get the touchdown. He was running back 29 that same week when AJ Dillon was running back 30. But then you get into week 5, we have 8 carries for Dillon, 30 yards, 4 for 4 in the passing game, another 49 yards and a touchdown, ends at running back 21 with 19.9 points in the same scoring we're using for our Rookie Fever predictions game. And so you start to see this, to me, if you're excited about, I said again, Javonte Williams, you should be just as excited and just as interested in somebody like AJ Dillon. And I don't think people are going to be as attached to Dillon at this point.
We talked about this too. The thing with AJ Dillon is is that he's got that built-in upside. When he's got that nice flex floor, back-to-back weeks of over 10 weight opportunities per game, which is a nice threshold where you're getting 10 weight opportunities. That's a flexible type spot. But then what happens if Aaron Jones, one of the most valuable running backs in fantasy, what happens if he goes down? AJ Dillon, he's getting 4 targets last week. That's it for 11.4 target share. That means that if he does get into that larger role, you don't want to wish for an injury, but if it does happen, Aaron Jones has a history of injury. He can then do be a 3 down bell cow because he can catch it. He's got 9 catches on the season. That's almost half what he had in his whole college career through 5 games this year. So people said that like, oh no, he can catch. He can do more than he did at BC, but he's actually doing that, which is a surprise for me at least, because that doesn't usually happen for running backs. So there's a lot to be excited about, Swags, and there's some upside that people aren't even talking about yet. So
yeah, I don't think there are too many running backs right now without like having a crazy James Robinson like 2020 scenario happening, and then into 2021. I don't think there are too many running backs out there right now that you could add that could foreseeably have this kind of value and production increase within the next year or two. It's not all going to just come today or this year, but like Dave said, if there is an Aaron Jones injury, it's all over. But then like next year and moving forward, like I don't want to do the comp, but we've all heard it, but I'll say this. I had a lot of Derrick Henry. I was so into Derrick Henry. Anybody that remembers those old back like fantasy football breakdown shows knows how into Derrick Henry I was. By the time Derrick Henry hit, I didn't have any shares left. I had gotten very impatient and moved on. I don't want to do that with AJ Dillon because I think it's going to happen relatively soon to where, like, I think you can flex him now comfortably and it's going to get better. And people are going to catch on to this pretty quickly. Right now, you could get him a nice little deal, somebody to divert to if you're out there and you're the guy like looking for. Like I said, I think Javonte Williams is just that guy that everybody's kind of waiting to hit, but he actually costs more and the hit might not even end up being as big. The only other like foreseeable like value increases I could think of are those injured players like Dobbins, who's also going to cost you more than AJ Dillon, Akers, and then Travis Etienne. But you're dealing with those injuries, man. Go get you some AJ Dillon. Sorry, I'm done.
I do have a question though about your AJ Dillon love, Swags. Does that have now with Aaron Rodgers potentially being out after this season of Green Bay, is AJ Dillon a this year type play? And then like, how is that enter into our plans at all with AJ Dillon?
That doesn't affect how I feel, to be completely honest with you. I think we'll get one more year of Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think that Jordan Love's the answer, but we've seen Derrick Henry with Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think you have to have an Aaron Rodgers type quarterback for somebody like Derrick Henry, that size and body and how mobile he is. And, you know, you might see it in the passing game go down. He might not get those like 4 to 6 targets we want to see, but I think that the dude's a beast. And I mean, again, with Javonte Williams, you know, people are getting excited and we still are going back and forth from Teddy to Drew Lock, you know, so we don't know anything there, but give me AJ Dillon at that discounted price for a few more weeks. A lot of this is a cost thing too, but I do believe in what we're going to see in the fictional story that is currently AJ Dillon.
Just my two quick cents on this. Like AJ Dillon, it was nice to see, obviously, that he's an able or possibly an able pass catcher. Even that one touchdown pass he did get from Rodgers was a little thrown over his head. He had to adjust to it for the score eventually down the sideline. The good thing, the difference between Henry, because everyone likes to say that they're the same, is that Henry wasn't giving you these early return swags, right? That's why you got impatient. So, you know, Dylan's very first full game opportunity, he rushed for over 100 yards in a snowy game that everybody remembers. And now, you know, he's not getting the least that we want. We're talking about this 16-touch game where he had 15 carries and 1 reception in week 4. But he only had 8 last week. And I think in, I want to say week 1, he had 5 and then 6 and then 8. So, I mean, that's about what we're getting from him. It feels very Alexander Mattison-like, and I'm not comparing the players, I'm comparing the usage. We're all saying that, well, Alexander Mattison, or Alex, as he prefers, will get his run when or if Cook gets hurt. And it's the same situation here, and it'll be the same situation all year long. I don't think he has enormous standalone value. I know Dave was quoting some numbers that does make it seem that way. My fear is that the weeks that you do start him in your flex are going to be the weeks that he has that six or seven carries. It doesn't quite do it for you. But that being said, as far as stashing, as far as upside, as far as if anything happened to Aaron Jones, of course, 100% all in. I own a decent amount of AJ Dillon, thinking that Jones was going to move on, and he didn't. He stayed, which really pissed me the hell off. They're not getting out of Aaron Jones until 2023. So we're looking at this kind of duo, and I would say the usage is not going to look like week four on the regular basis. It's going to look a lot more like week one, two, three, and five. And just to just kind of, you know, take that with a grain of salt and understand that you're going to have one hell of a running back if anything happens to Jones, even for a short period of time.
But I think, and I get what you're saying with Mattison, but I think one big difference there is the future. And I don't think Mattison is the future. He's the guy that if Dalvin goes down, they're going to go to. But I think that if Aaron Jones is out of there, gets traded, or is cut at some point, I think that they do look at A.J. Dillon as a future piece to that team. And I don't know if they look at Mattison that way. If once Dalvin's gone, I think they would want to have a different running back. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair in that regard. I mean, I just think that people, you know, Aaron Jones just signed that contract this offseason, not a year ago, this offseason. They are not cutting or trading him this year or next. So just, you know, I just don't see that happening. The dead cap hit alone is just more than he even makes. Like, it's just, it's not practical. It is very practical in 2023 where they'll be paying him $19 million and the dead cap's only six. That could happen. But I'm just saying, just get ready for that ride. You know, that's a 2-year ride. DeMarco
Murray was signed the same year they drafted Derrick Henry.
And Derrick Henry got good on a different team. I mean, that's...
Derrick Henry was the
Titan. Yeah, that's true. Titan. That's true.
He was drafted by the Titans.
Yeah.
But like Swag said, he got better on a different dynasty squad because a lot of people moved on.
Right, yeah. But because of DeMarco Murray, because of everything we're saying about Aaron Jones right now.
That's fair. No, I like that.
So yeah, you guys had some guys you wanted to talk about too.
It's time for Finero to get into his.
Yeah, so I just brought up Darnell Mooney. I wanted to give him just a little bit of time. He leads the team in targets, which is very surprising. I wouldn't have thought that. 31 targets to Robinson's 29. Fields has shown a willingness to absolutely push the ball downfield. In the Dalton-led Chicago offense, Dalton had no attempts out of his 50 attempts over 50 yards, not a single deep throw, where Fields has already thrown 11 in his 72 attempts, which is good for 15% and the highest in the NFL. So he's throwing more deep balls than anyone in the NFL. And that bodes well for Darnell Mooney. It seems like these two have a chemistry on and off the field. I've read all this stuff about them playing video games together. Like there's these two are kind of tight. And I think their chemistry is going to grow. And I think as soon as the playbook goes from run, 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 pass to a more pass happy, friendly Fields offense, I think Mooney will thrive as Fields grows. And I think there's like a real chemistry between the two. He's sitting at wide receiver 55, which I think shows a strong dynasty buy right now, if you can get him. Because I think I'm not the only one that is seeing this.
Week one, 17.5% target share. Week two, 35% target share. Week three, 20%. Week four, 41%. And last week, 25%. This is what you're saying when they only ran 20 pass attempts in week five. When that boosts, like Finero just said, that's why we care about target share. When there's a change in how the game plan or the game flow, you see that share of the offense increases. The only thing that was kind of a shock to me, what Finero just said, was I didn't know if Mooney had time to play video games when he's busy using the jugs machine in the hallway, catching balls in the hallway from the jugs machine. So I'm surprised he had time for the video games with Fields. But yeah, so besides that, yeah, I mean, this is a screaming where his usage or his percentage of the offense is screaming buy, buy, buy.
I just wonder how tough it'd be still to acquire him. I feel like a lot of people are into Mooney. Maybe it's just my perception, so I almost don't try because I feel like people are attached, but that's the wrong attitude for me to have. You should still try. But man, that's how I feel like when I'm looking at Mooney, just kind of like, oh, he's not going to trade him to me.
The thing is, we've had, like I mentioned, 5 weeks so far this season that we're starting to get a big chunk of the season has started to go where we can start having actionable. We're starting to get enough of a sample size. We have actionable things. When you're the wide receiver, what Fenner said, wide receiver 60 something?
55.
He's only had two games over 10 fantasy points. Those managers are feeling it. Yeah, they can start seeing the signs, whatever, but that I'll try to steal that term from some swags, whereas the ease of buy might be just a little bit easier. Because they might be getting impatient, even though they've been thinking, oh, Justin Fields is coming. It doesn't hurt to try.
Yeah. And then, like we said earlier, with the trade deadline, I mean, if Allen Robinson's traded away, that Mooney price instantly goes up, even if he doesn't have more production at that point. So Allen Robinson doesn't seem happy. He doesn't seem around for the long. I'm having trouble getting into Mooney, and I think it's just because so many people seem to be. Because
he's going to the moon, you know, and Fenero didn't give us his big Mooney intro that he usually gives us when he's talking about Darnell Mooney. He just really revved our engines, but.
Yeah, so I think you're right, Swags. He might be stuck in between one of those places where it's a hard buy, you know, and a hard sell, right? Like, you don't know if you're all in to spend the price that it's going to take to lift them. And then the people who have them they see enough signs where they're just like, nah, man, like, I'm just going to hold. So it might be there, but like you always like to tell me, you have to ask.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of similar situation to Brian.
The problem too is once I'm ready to ask is I'm going to explore, like I was talking to you yesterday. I'm going to get Robert Woods for a little bit cheaper, mm-hmm. or, you know, who's showing production or someone like that. I'm going to get Jacoby Myers, who just needs a touchdown, who's showing production and people just don't give the respect to. Like, I'm going to get those guys that are giving me numbers now for the same price or cheaper while we're still wondering what Mooney's going to be.
Similar situation to Bryan Edwards. Bryan Edwards this offseason was a guy where he was not easy to acquire. There were Bryan Edwards truthers. Mooney has that similar feel where the people who have him liked him. He's starting to show some promise. So he's hard to get off. He's hard to get steal away from them.
I just acquired Bryan Edwards today. I sent away our friend Alex Madison and Tyron Johnson to a strong contender for his Bryan Edwards, and he accepted.
Yeah, I don't see why that deal wouldn't be able to get Darnell Mooney, to be honest.
It might, you know. I'd rather have Bryan Edwards. A completely changing offense. Carr's probably going to do things he hasn't been able to do before. I'm excited to see what this offense is going to do without Gruden, to be completely honest with you. There's a change coming. I don't know if it's going to completely benefit Bryan Edwards or not, but I feel like the price is fair. And if it does happen, I want to get there in a couple more areas before it happens. So if I can add some Ruggs and Bryan Edwards before the shift in this offense happens, I'm gonna. And honestly, for me, I don't have too many teams where I'm in a situation where I'm ever going to start Alex Madison or Tyron Johnson, completely honestly. Like, maybe in 5 years, if they're still relevant or if my other good running backs get hurt. I mean, that's just how I draft. I'm not in too many situations where I need to use those guys. So to me, they're just like expiring assets. I'm wasting them away. I'd rather have them go to you and get the wide receiver, you know? So that's just me there, though. But you guys like Mooney. I'm a little worried.
I'm not.
I'm just, you know, worried, I think, is the wrong word. Okay, so what's your ceiling expectation? Not like your hit the lotto expectation, but what are your expectations for Darnell Mooney?
Low end wide receiver two. Low end wide receiver two.
Okay, I think that's fair.
And I'm realistically trying to get a top 36 wide receiver when I'm going for Mooney. That's what I'm trying to get.
There you go. A wide receiver three
type player.
So 2 to 3. I think that's fair.
So what do we have between 20 and 36? Somewhere in there.
I think that's fair. Honestly, yeah. So we're kind of on the same page. I just feel like I can find that for about the same price that's already doing it. So that's kind of where I'm at with it, you know?
Fair enough.
even like you look at somebody like Henry Ruggs, who's kind of starting to do it, and I can still get him cheaper than I could have had him for last year as we're waiting to do it, because everybody's so into rookie fever that you can go after the players like Henry Ruggs right now while you're slowly, you know, because we focus very rookie centric here. So we don't talk about even these guys much on rookie rewind or rookie fever unless we're doing the rewinds, but you're seeing those guys also doing what they're supposed to be doing in their development. And it's exciting to watch too. And you can really like start to divert to those guys now a little bit cheaper while they're developing a year ahead of the rookies. So it's kind of an interesting game. And even with somebody like Jacoby Myers, who people don't want to believe it's happening, is only like 25 years old. And he's actually had a pretty decent under the radar season. So I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. I think our expectations are similar for Mooney, or like those, that area we think he should be for the price people are paying. But I feel like I can go get somebody that's already doing it.
That's fair.
I don't know.
Well, I know we wanted to talk about someone else on this list.
Dave. Let's talk about Dave.
Well, Michael Pittman, a player who, guys, I've kind of poo-pooed at times last season and even early this season. I was not all into Michael Pittman. He was a little bit of an older prospect. Just a player who I wasn't that excited about. But then what's he been doing so far this season? From volume standpoint, he's checking all the check boxes. 8.6 targets per game, 25% target share of that offense. He is the number one in that offense as a wide receiver, 36% of their air yards. That is a huge check for the volume. That is top 18 type of wide receiver volume right there. And then efficiency, 2.07 receiving yards per team attempt, which is, again, top 24 efficiency type numbers. And the only thing we haven't seen, I feel like we keep talking about this, especially in a 5-game sample size, only the one touchdown. He's had 368 receiving yards and only one touchdown. Usually you see that in the 150, 160 yards per TD. So maybe another touchdown and a half to two touchdowns based on his volume. And then boom, people are a lot more excited, even though I think there's a decent chatter about Pittman right now. And with all this being said, this is with the Colts offense being pretty crappy, not playing that great. Carson Wentz is only throwing 1.4 TDs per game at the moment. The Colts have underwhelmed. And what happens if they start to heat up their schedule? They're in one of the weakest division in football, probably, I would argue. What happens when they play Houston again? You know, start to really get into their schedule. Things could really start to pop for Pittman. And I just want to highlight this because I was a little bit lower on him than consensus, or maybe I just didn't feel the fever, maybe I should say. And his usage, what we're seeing, these are all top 24 wide receiver numbers that we're seeing right now, which is exciting because his rookie season didn't show this coming. 11% target share or something like that, whatever it was not great. And to see to make this jump in year two, despite the offense struggling, is exciting.
Yeah, we talk about that jump in year two all the time. And in 2020, last year, he only had 60 total targets the whole year long. Now, he was hurt for like three games of that, but still 60 targets, where he has 43 targets through 5 weeks, on pace for 145 targets on the season. That's you almost are guaranteed a wide receiver two season with those kind of targets. So, you know, that's now T.Y. Hilton's coming back. We'll see like how that changes the mix. I think that's going to probably happen this week, if not next. So we do have that. Sounds like
next week.
Yeah.
He might be activated. It didn't sound like he would be practicing this week. So I gotcha. Find it hard with the neck issue that he'll be back this week. Probably next week, though. It's really close. Right.
So long term, in that crazy pace he's on, maybe he doesn't get to a $145. Maybe he gets to 120 still. Excellent amount of targets in a season to put up some yards. And Wentz is doing okay. So it's certainly nothing stellar, but it's enough to get one wide receiver a ton of yards. So he's definitely has all the products of that year two jump we're looking for.
Yeah, and maybe Hilton opens up the field a little bit too.
Sure, good point.
So I don't hate that at all. And I mean, even you look at what I just kind of said about like Bryan Edwards or Ruggs, and how you could acquire Pittman, who's doing it, versus a rookie this year. And it's just easier to get those second year guys that aren't quite doing what showing up on your fantasy boards like you want them to yet. So we get impatient very quickly.
Oh. Wow. I wasn't expecting another one of those.
You weren't expecting another one of those. Finero and Spaceman, how many rookies have 100-yard games at this point in the season? No, 100 total yards, excuse me. 100 total yards or more. I asked that very poorly.
On the season?
On the season. 100, Dave, look at me.
That's a lot. That should be a pretty big number.
How many rookies have 100 yards or more on the season?
I'm going to say 14.
14 is a little high, Dave.
I'm trying to even look at just names to try to even go off my head, and I'd say
the bookends are, I'll give you two names. The bookends are Ja'Marr Chase has the most. Pat Freiermuth comes in at exactly 100.
100 yards from scrimmage, and 14's high. I guess 14, 15 is my guess.
11. That's high. 11, all right.
Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kenneth Gainwell, Terrace Marshall, and Pat Freiermuth are the 11.
Kenny Gainwell?
Yes. Has 122 yards.
And you said Elijah Mitchell.
I did not.
He's got to be 100.
He's not.
Yeah, he's got 219.
Through the air?
Through the air. I thought we were doing scrimmage yards. Oh, okay.
There we go. All right. I feel receiving better about yards. My 14 guess.
I said receiving yards.
Yeah, somehow Spaceman and I both heard 100 yards, total offense type thing. That's why we were both going higher number. But, you know, we
the listeners agree with me on this one.
Yep. We're just throwing out excuses for getting it wrong. That's all.
I have terrible listening skills.
We'll play it back. We'll play it back.
We're just bad listeners.
So 11 through the air. Those were through the air.
Excellent.
Week 5 results are in. You know, I was hoping to pick a little earlier. I'm picking last with negative 16 points. Negative 16 points and I won. The first week I won and I negative 16 points.
That's like the worst way to win. And then you didn't even make up any ground. I have negative 19 and Spaceman has negative 17.
Yeah.
But you pick last.
So I had Dyami Brown and Khalil Herbert. Herbert did give me some points. Brown got me negative 18 again. I think I'm done picking him for the rest of the year.
And I'm done picking Elijah Moore.
Feverish had Elijah Moore and Tommy Tremble.
Yeah, Tommy Space with his touchdown. Had
Bateman and Elijah Mitchell. Cheated with Elijah Mitchell.
Totally cheated.
That's me.
He knew it the whole time, too. He did not.
And then, so, Feverish, you're picking first.
I am. All right. I am going to go. Yeah. I'm going to do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. Rashad Bateman, coming back.
Whew. So, this gets me. I'm going to go for.
Nice pick. He's got to play one of these weeks. One of these weeks, one of us is going to nail Rashad Bateman.
And the worst part is we're playing a day earlier this season where we had the Thursday, at least we could choose. Now we have one less day, so it's even riskier. I'll go Terrace Marshall this week.
He was in my top three.
Yeah, he was going to be one of my players.
Lamar Jackson, 43 pass attempts last week, gentlemen. 140.5 passer rating. Bring Rashad Bateman into that offensive stellar situation.
So this is a tough one, man. I'm in a tough position. I'm in that game of chicken where I'm wondering who you guys are going
to
be picking.
I think there's a good one left, and I hope you leave it to me.
I'm going to leave it to you, and I'm going to take Pat Freiermuth, who hasn't
shown. That was mine! That was the one! Damn you!
That was yours as well, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, no juju. All you need is a touchdown to make the list. Yeah, Pat Freiermuth.
Is Eric Ebron droppable in Dynasty?
Yes, already did.
That happened quick, didn't it?
Yep, it's over. All right, so I'm up next.
That makes me so glad I took Freiermuth.
He was clearly not coming back to you.
If you guys take my guy, I am not prepared.
All right, well, I'm up next, being once again this week's loser. This week's loser. I'm going to go with 11 carries last week, Ramondre Stevenson.
Ooh, I like that.
Another costly fumble for Damien Harris and an injury, I believe, as well. I like it. I'm also Samaje Perine, since COVID, Mixon still dealing with injury. I'm going to go with Chris Evans.
Oh, you picked him 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, in line for a huge role.
Great matchup.
Chris Evans. Yep.
Great matchup, actually. And he's moved to second on the depth chart. I do think we're going to see some more Mixon this week. I'm not as concerned about Mixon going into week six, but great matchup for Chris Evans if he gets a little bit of play behind him. I like that one. And as we know, it doesn't take much to get into the top 12 here on Rookie Fever. With that said, I'm going to say we see a little bit more Trey Sermon than you guys want to this week. Really, that and the well is pretty damn dry here. So I'm hoping at least to get somebody that doesn't have a 0 points, because that's how we all got those like negative 17s and 18s yeah. this week, is because we all had somebody that didn't even score any points.
I think Trey Sermon got a couple carries, right? Two carries, I want to say. Better than Elijah Moore. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yep. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at ArtBarkTV. Spaceman, do you have any kind words to say to the missus on your anniversary?
She is a true warrior. I really respect the hell out of her, and she's a hero of mine, which sounds really corny, but no, I really look up to her. And without her support, I would not be able to play with spreadsheets as much as I do. So I really, she's my world, honestly. So yeah.
Love it, man. And you guys have a happy anniversary. You're probably going to be both with Never Baby Dave, but he is at @FF_Spaceman. We are at Rookie Fever, and we are out. Yeah, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the one-on-one scouting? He's never done this. Stupid fool and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No good for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.